Good morning, everybody. I hope this Christmas season is going really well for you. It's a generous time of the year, and as we celebrate God's generosity and the gift of his son, Jesus. I want to give a brief budget update this morning as we approach the end of the year, and then I want to go through some reminders from Scripture about giving in a way that pleases God. I want to start by giving a heartfelt thank you for your generosity that you've displayed this year. To this church, to the Marseille Project and their monastery project to purchase that, Christian Family Services has had a really good year with donations. The Burkina Faso Formula Project has been blessed by this congregation, and our food pantry has gotten robust donations this year to help keep it going. So thank you for all of that demonstration of your generosity. As far as the budget goes, if you track in the bulletin, we keep an update in there of how our giving is compared to our requested plan for the year. And you might have noticed that we're about $100,000 behind through this stage of the year. We were in a similar position last year. So that is a bit sobering. Also this year, at the beginning of the year, we deliberately and prayerfully gave $100,000 to that Marseille Monastery project. That was not part of this year's budget, but it was a decision we made in obedience to that opportunity. And so because of God's provision this year, we are projecting a budget shortfall, but it's about $40,000, not near as daunting as the $200,000 number that those previous items might suggest we would be facing. We have had some savings this year. We have been without a full-time children's minister for most of the year, and that has a financial impact. We've gotten a couple special contributions, folks that have donated stock to the church. We have had our full-time lead minister retire late this year, and we've had better interest rates with some of our savings. And so all of those things God is using to help bridge that gap and provide for us. We do want to remind you and invite you to consider a year-end catch-up contribution. Typically, we send out October statements. You can see where you're at and see if your intended giving is a little short because of a missed contribution or something. We did not do that this year. We're trying to lighten the load on the office staff and decided a reminder like this should be adequate. So please take a look at your checkbook or your that's an old man. Go to your online banking record and see how you've been tracking this year, and if you can be deliberate, we would welcome that catch up. We do feel led as a leadership called to replace both the full-time lead minister that we've been working on, but also the full-time children and families minister position. We feel that's an important work that we want to be able to commit to with this coming year. And so a good foundation of giving is important to being able to make those commitments. And also our mortgage is up for renewal in September of next year. We've enjoyed a 3.5% interest rate, and by next September, our mortgage should be about $330,000. And we won't get that as attractive of a rate, but we'll get a 5-year renewal of some kind. So we're facing that with the coming year. So with all of that said, and where we are and where we're wanting to go, our message this morning is not focused on giving more. Let's focus on giving to please God. What does he really tell us is pleasing to him? And let's focus on that. And the rest will take care of itself. For some, let's admit, that would mean to start giving to the church. If you have not embraced a routine of giving to the church as part of your walk with God, it is important. And so please do that. For some, it will be an increase as you figure out what does God want me to do. And for others, maybe it's just a change of perspective and our motive in giving. So let's take a look at How do we give in a way that pleases God? And we're going to focus on Proverbs this morning. First priority in giving to please God is to give to God first, or you might hear that term first fruits referred to pretty regularly. So let's look at Proverbs 3, 9 through 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth and the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. Okay? Now, why is that important to God? Well, if you give to him first when you get paid, that's the first bill you pay, for example, it acknowledges him as the creator and the provider and worthy of being the priority in our lives. And that is where he wants to be. It requires trust to give first in that way. Trust in him that he'll provide for the rest of your needs and work out the rest of your commitments until your next income, paycheck, whatever. When we do the opposite of giving to God first, it's leftovers at the end of the pay period, isn't it? And then there's always something that comes up that requires more funds. And then we make that something a higher priority than giving to him. And that's the message ultimately we're saying with our spending pattern. And so let's give to him first. Next is be generous or share. And that we've got a few scriptures from Proverbs that talk about that. First is 11, 24 to 25. One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Next in 22, verse 9 says, the generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. And then in Proverbs 28, verse 27, those who give to the poor will lack nothing, but those who close their eyes to them receive many curses. Being generous acknowledges that others are as valuable as I am. If I share what I have with them, it is the antidote to selfishness, and that's human nature to drift toward selfishness. Christ died for them too. It also, like giving first fruits, being generous requires trust in God that he'll provide enough for the rest of my needs. And then God blesses, like I said in these verses, God blesses those who share generously. And Jesus himself reinforced this in Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus said to those around him, when you give to the needy, do so in secret. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Jesus did not say when you're in the mood to give to the needy or when you're on top of the world financially and you give. He said when you give to the needy, not if. And then he was sensitive to how we did that. Do it in secret to honor God. So this begs the question, what is generous? How much? Well, we are free to wrestle with that as part of our relationship with God. If you're a parent of children, you know you want to be generous with them, but you don't want to spoil them. You've got to figure that out. Much like with God, what's generous and what isn't? When you give to the church, what is generous and stretching me? Or what is reckless and keeping me from honoring my obligations? Or what is hoarding and trusting in myself instead of in God? And so we've got to figure that out. Now, God does give us the Old Testament guide of the tithe, 10% of everything, and also a lot of hospitality was commanded in the Old Testament. The way that they were hospitable to travelers and visitors and things like that was part of their walk with God. And so much like this, giving first to God and being generous, they had to tithe and be hospitable. Now, as an accountant, I'm thankful for a benchmark like that. If I'm under that threshold, I should ask myself why and stretch towards that. That's been very practical for Amy and I. Or maybe think of it like the body mass index that healthcare professionals give us. It's not everything about your health, if you're on that spot or not, but it really is helpful. And if I'm drifting from that, that should get my attention and do something to correct course. Or maybe it's a guide like, get 8 hours of sleep. That's a good guide. How many of us actually do that and embrace that? If I'm not even close to that, I should realize that I should adjust things. How awesome would it be if I can get a couple more hours of sleep and be a couple more hours productive with my day? That would be a good thing, right? And that's kind of what God's calling us to with our finances here when he says, give to him first, be generous, and let the rest work out. Now, Proverbs does have more to say about how to give so that we can give to God first and be generous. And so I want to look at those briefly as well. Work hard and save is in Proverbs as a way to live. That's Proverbs 10, 4 to 5 says, lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. He who gathers crops in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. And then also in chapter 6, 6 through 11, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, nor overseer, or ruler. Yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. And poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. Now, please don't feel like I'm calling you a sluggard. We work hard, we know to work hard, but do we think of that as honoring God when we work hard? When we work diligently, that's how opportunities come our way, and God's involved in giving us opportunity. If we're responsible in little, he'll help us be responsible in more. Now, the ant, in this example, stores its provisions in summer. That means it saves. So we're being told to save as a way to live. Now, saving is important because if we spend all of our income, you won't have anything to help anyone else with. And you won't have anything to get you through the winter or the tough times. And so please embrace this notion of working hard and saving because it helps us to give in a way that's pleasing to God. Next, Proverbs tells us to beware of debt. Proverbs 22:7 says, the rich rule over the poor and the borrower is a slave to the lender. That is not something you want to put yourself into lightly. Debt makes you pay more for everything. And it gets in the way of giving to God and being generous if it absorbs your resources. Maybe debt can be a useful tool. Let's be practical and real here. If what we're buying will increase in value, maybe that's a house. Maybe that's a college education that you borrow to go to because it'll increase your income. Maybe it's starting a business. You can see the value in that. But if debt indentures you if you're buying something with it that decreases in value over time. Like a vacation, if you finance that with debt. Christmas gifts this time of year is awfully easy to do. A car, a washer dryer, things like that. Those payments bind you and limit you. And so an awareness of that, Proverbs is teaching us to realize what that does. Finally, it's be honest. Proverbs 13:11 says, dishonest money dwindles away, but whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. And in 1611, honest scales and balances belong to the Lord. All the weights in the bag are of his making. God's way is the honest way. Excuse me. Not only is dishonesty a sin, but wealth obtained that way is not secure. It can be taken away when the lie is discovered. And so resist that temptation. Can't be clearer than that. In summary, giving to please God is giving to him first and being generous. And we can help ourselves do that if we work hard and save, if we beware of debt, and if we are honest in all our doings. Now, I do have another point I'd like to make. The rich young ruler passage that David read for us reveals another lesson. That person who approached Jesus, he kept all of God's commands. And that means that he tithed. He was faithful and obedient in that part of his life. But his security must have been in his wealth and not in God. And that's why God instructed him as he did. All of our giving is about trusting in God and him alone. Finally, to wrap up, we have a video that came in this week from Marseille, France. Your giving to this church has allowed us to help support Craig and Katie Young as missionaries there for 30 years. This video shows what God does with our faithful giving. Enjoy.
Hi, everybody. My name is Romain. I come from Marseille, and I came to the church by the teenager groups and the camp we have every year.
Hello, I'm Morgana. I grew up in Marseille, and when I was five, someone from the church gave me English classes.
Hi, everyone. My name is Maël. I've met the church in 2010. With the summer camp, our summer camp, and I did every year and changed my life.
Hey, I'm Lilou, I'm 17 and I'm one of the teens. I started to come to church when I was little, I was 7, because I knew a family of the church. They invited me for the children's activities, learn about the Bible, we have some games. I came for a lot of years, just once a week, and then I got baptized when I was 14 at camp with one of my friends. And yeah, that's it. Jesus is my King, He's my Lord. And...
Bonjour, c'est Djidjiga.
Hey, hello, I'm Khaled, Djidjiga's husband. We are from Algeria, from Kabylie. We arrived here in 2001. We are Muslim background, and we know this church and stay 8 years like a Muslim, and we take our decision. We see the love of God in this family and this their kids, and now we are Christians since 2008 and Djidjiga 2010.
Bonjour, moi c'est Jill. Je suis venu à l'église de par les soirées ados qu'on fait à l'église un samedi par mois, et aussi suite à la colonie Harmonie.
Hello, my name is Salome. I came to the church through the ministry of the young adults. It's been now 3 years I'm here.
Hi everyone, I'm Marvin. I came to Christ 5 or 6 years ago, thanks to the choir and thanks to the love I saw between everybody.
Hi, I'm Patricia. I came to the church 20 years ago.
Today we are at the Betelin, and I hope I will help here and with the beautiful creation that we have.
I'm so happy about this place. I have so many dreams, so many hope, and especially for the children, for a new generation who can, after a few years, become the leader of the church, of the new generation.
I hope that here in our new place, we can do summer camp or even class for children. Now I'm working in a school near our church in Marseille, and hope to give French class for foreigners and refugees.
We hope this project will help the new generation to come to Christ and to discover all what he did for us.
J'espère que la Bethelune qu'on a achetée, on pourra l'utiliser pour la gloire de Dieu et faire venir des gens, des ados, des enfants et tout type de personnes pour qu'ils puissent connaître Jésus-Christ.
We have not only activities for sports, but it's only also to share gospels with people, our neighbors, but also people of Marseille and maybe more.
Since 2017, I work for the camp, a Christian camp in Ardèche, and now we have the Bethelune. I think God gave us the power to work in this camp and to do what God likes.
I'm very thankful to be here in the Bethelune. I'm so happy, and I can imagine children running and singing and living the love of Christ.
This project, it's a dream, but we prayed for many years, and we didn't know that it would be real today, in 2024.
But now we have officially this building, and I'm so touched. I'm so moved by all the things we can do there, and all the people we can touch and encourage to come to Christ.
So I'm very thankful to have you, brothers and sisters.
Thank you for everything you are doing.
I say thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you all, and we love you.
We love you. We love you in the love of Jesus.
We love these guys. We love their stories. We love God's stories. Most all of these guys are first generation Christians. This is a generation that we've been investing in for a generation, and isn't it encouraging to see how they want to invest in the next generation as it comes to life here? And we're so excited to have the Bethelune be a part of their stories and be a part of a lot of other people's stories. One of the couples that was here this morning, he and his wife announced right here in the chapel today to us that they're expecting another child, and they chose to do that today here in the chapel instead of at church this morning because they envision the next generation coming to life and coming to life here.
The Bethelune, what is the Bethelune? An act of God. He who can do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. He has given us the Bethelune. The Bethelune is a place for this next generation to flourish. The Bethelune is a place where we want to give our strength, to give our time, to give our finances, to give all the energy we have to seeing great things happen in the kingdom of God through this place. And we thank you so much for participating in this project with us, for participating in this work of God with us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Praise the Lord. May God bless you.
Matthew!